Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony signing in for another episode. And in this show, I'm joined by Pastor Steve Aiken, and he presents a lot of very, very useful information as we think about what lies ahead of us. And there is a lot of food for thought. So I think you'll get a lot out of today's show. We welcome Pastor Steve Aiken to the A Minute to Midnight show. It's great to have you on the show today, Steve.
Tony, thank you so much for having me. I was thrilled and honored that you asked me to come on. I certainly want to say hello to all of your listeners on the other side of the world. We're in quite a turmoil here in the United States, as most of your listeners will know, and it's just good to know that the solid rock of our faith, Jesus Christ, is our foundation.
Yes, that's true. And I would say, you know, probably the largest number of our listeners are actually in the United States. I mean, we have people listening from all other countries as well, but there's a huge number of people in America listening. And, yeah, you're heading into the elections very soon, and at the moment you are in early autumn or fall, but you're telling me it's still 98 degrees, and it's like, oh my goodness gracious, we're mid-spring here and we're struggling to get, well, I've still got the heater on in the morning, and in the evenings and the days aren't too bad, but.
Now a heater, that's a device that puts out heat, right? I'm not sure I'm familiar. No, I'm just kidding. I live really as far south in Arizona as you possibly can get, right near the border of Mexico. So we're literally in the middle of the Sonoran Desert, and it's hard to believe people actually live here, but we do. And you know what? God's work's being done here as well.
That's great. Yes, I mean, I don't know heat, the sort of heat that you're talking about. I mean, we get pretty mild weather here, really. Not too extreme at either end, but certainly nowhere near what you're getting in terms of that heat. Anyway, so can you give our listeners a bit of a background then into what you actually do?
Well, sure. Now, you know, real quick, let me just tell you, I've had a very interesting life, Tony. I'm pushing the big 6-0. I've got 12 grandchildren, but originally I'm from the Philadelphia area. In fact, I was the very first 18-year-old. I actually graduated high school, spent about 4 months with a rock and roll band you might have heard of called Daryl Hall and John Oates.
Yes.
Hall and Oates.
Yes, definitely.
And, yeah, spent about 4 months with them, and then all of a sudden I got a letter. My application to the Pennsylvania State Police Academy was accepted. I was the very first graduate of the State Police Academy in Pennsylvania to ever graduate at the ripe old age of 18. And I didn't even believe in God. Spent the better part of 9 years as a regular beat cop on the beat in the Philadelphia area. Didn't even believe in God until I was about 24 years old, and at that point I had been involved in a gunfight, and it was one of those deals where, you know, it was either him or me, and the Lord spared me that afternoon. But when I finally got to sleep after all the interrogation and the you know, the questions, they ask you the same question 10 different times, 10 different ways, I finally dozed off, and literally, Tony, I heard a voice that said, what would happen if it was you laying there dead instead of him? I didn't have an answer. I literally bolted up in my bed, looked around, realized there was nobody in the room, and then I laid back down and started thinking about the actual question. What would have happened if it was me laying there dead instead of the perpetrator? And I didn't have an answer. So that started me on a 3-year trek. One of my favorite verses in the Bible today is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, where God says, "You shall find me when you seek me with all of your heart." And that's what I did for about 3.5 years until the Lord finally found me and I got saved. My wife and I, we've been together now 38 years. We've got 12 grandchildren. And not long after that, I started going to Bible college. After my 9th year in law enforcement, my wife and I started a mission for homeless teenagers outside the Philadelphia area. I felt called to the ministry, spent some time as a youth evangelist and an evangelist. But I also, you know, Paul refers to what he calls tent making. So, you know, you got to pay the bills. And ministry, anybody that gets into ministry for the money is, I think, out of their minds. But so I started my own bodyguard business, and I was a bodyguard before bodyguards were cool. And so I used to get contracted by the State Department, and I met many heads of state and private. I was private. I was not a Secret Service agent, but that led me to meet two different presidents of the United States, three different times. Kings, queens. I guarded the king of the Zulu nation, prime minister. She wasn't prime minister at the time, but Margaret Thatcher, I was her bodyguard. And so the Lord just allowed me to have all these experiences, skipping, as I like to tell my congregation here. I am now currently the founding and senior pastor of a very small church. Well, it's not that small, but it's small, that we started about 6 years ago, called the Southern Arizona Community Church. And that's right down here on the border with Mexico here in Arizona.
And the website for that church, if anyone wants to look at, you might as well give it to
us now. It's pretty easy. It's S-O-A-Z-C-C, and we remember it like this: S-O for Southern, A-Z for Arizona, C-C for Community Church. That's Southern Arizona, S-O-A-Z-C-C, Southern Arizona Community Church, .org. So it's just S-O-A-Z-C-C.org is the church website.
Great. That's excellent. Oh, so yeah, you certainly had an interesting life, pretty full, that's for sure, and a lot of different stuff. That's very, very cool. So the main topic that I want to get into right off the bat is related to communication and the internet. You've been warning people that a time is coming, maybe even very soon, where the government is going to shut down or restrict access to the internet and other communications. Can you tell our listeners why you believe that's the case?
Well, for one, if things go the way I think they are going, and I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with the New World Order, really cannot tolerate voices of dissent. That's one of the reasons why the First Amendment to the United States Constitution is so near and dear to our heart. It was put in place exactly for the reason that the government is going to have to shut off the internet, or at least, as you say, restrict it, and it's going to happen sooner rather than later. The voice of dissent cannot be tolerated. And in one of my videos on my YouTube page, Pastor Steve, they can punch in Pastor Steve and find me pretty easy, also on the Facebook page. I compare it to General Cornwallis when the colonies, the 13 original colonies, some 240, 50 years ago in the United States, General Cornwallis ordered that all of the church bells in the 13 colonies, original colonies, be removed. Why? Well, there was a thing back in those days called the Black Robed Regiment. And generally, people would meet and complain about the government, scheme against the Great Britain and the rule and the tyrannical rule of King George in the taverns and in the church houses. And so they would literally use the bells as a means of communication, and General Cornwallis ordered that all the bells will be removed. Many of your listeners are very familiar with a thing called the Liberty Bell. And this is a bell that is still in existence today. It's funny, growing up in Philadelphia, I actually was able, back in my day, you were actually able to touch the bell. Now it's, you know, surrounded by guards and bulletproof glass and all that. But I've actually touched the bell more than once. And so that bell, the colonists said, you know what, General Cornwallis and the British government can take all the bells, but they're not getting this one. And men literally risked their lives to save that one bell. Why? Well, it was a symbol of communication. And right now, between our cell phones, which we know the government's listening to our conversations, and the internet, it is the only way currently that we have to be able to share our grievances and be able to, in effect, if you will, protest to whatever degree and bring to light much of the evil that's in the world today. And I think that's one of the reasons why I appreciate your website so much, aminutetomidnight.com, simply because you're bringing to light, you're shedding light on the darkness. And when light shines on the darkness, the demons from hell, and I call them the cockroaches, have to spread.
Yes, it's actually interesting. I made a music video for one of my own songs recently, and the song's called Racing for the Prize, and it actually deals with economic collapse and everything going dark no power, no communications for a time. Now, whether it's as a result of an EMP or whatever, that's up to the imagination. But it goes dark for a time, and then when it comes back on, it's different than it was before, and the New World Order is in force, and, you know, that's kind of the subject of the video. And it is pretty much dealing with what you're just saying, except it's in a three-minute music video. And you can actually find that video on our Minute to Midnight YouTube channel, or there's a link to it in our video archives on the Minute to Midnight website as well. But yeah, so I've been thinking long and hard about this very topic myself that we're dealing with today, and hence why I, you know, put that sort of video out.
Folks don't really appreciate anything until you've lost it. And I really believe on September 11th, 2000, that the Lord, as catastrophic as 9/11 was in this country, I was in D.C. at the time, but many were in New York or in the area. The first thing that happened to me was that the communications was cut off. We later found out that the government seizes all of the landlines and all of the cell phone lines at the time in an event of a catastrophic emergency. So my wife and one daughter were on the other side of the Pentagon when the plane hit. And my youngest daughter, were on the opposite side of the Pentagon. But there was no way to communicate with each other, no way to find each other, and no way to find out if each other were safe. Now, I'm not going to bore you with that story, but bottom line is there was no communication. And that has stuck in my mind, because literally, if we were to lose this internet and perhaps even cell phone connections, our lives would be dramatically changed, just as you demonstrated in the video. I think that's the one with the little boy gets a pail of water out of the river.
Yeah, that's the one.
So I watched it. So, I mean, people don't understand, and I think it's part of your job, and this is why I was anxious to come on your show today. It's our job to show folks, look, this really is going to happen. I don't know when. I'm not going to predict when. No man knows the day or the hour, but this just shows us that the return of Christ is imminent. We are so much closer than we were yesterday. And the best we can do, we're going to try and wake as many folks up as we can, I hope.
Yes. You recently put out a video titled "Alert: Greatest False Flag Op in US History is About to Launch." So can you tell us what you may think will happen?
Well, yeah, and this is not just my theory. I think I was the first one to come up with this theory, but I've since seen it on other shows and other famous, much more popular than my channel, but it's just, you know, everything that this administration does and everything that evil does, they generally, even throughout biblical history, generally you can see them tip their hand. The Lord exposes part of the plan or all of the plan, and part of the plan in shutting down the internet, of course, will be to section us off so that we are unable, via the church bells, if you will, through the internet and cell phone, we won't be able to communicate with each other nearly as well as we currently do. We have it made right now. The only thing better than what we have would be mental telepathy, and we haven't quite discovered that yet. I think maybe that's how we communicate in heaven, but that's a whole other story. But yeah, I put this video out because it really is, I believe, when the United States government tips its hand, and by the way, I believe this particular government, not all the people in the government, there are still some good people left in the government, but this particular administration is heck bent on rising to power and taking away, you know, this country is founded on we the people, taking away the people's voice, and of course the internet. But I made that video because there's so much seeds, so many seeds being planted via propaganda that, you know, Russia, all they're saying is Russia's doing this, Russia's hacking into our systems, Russia is going to infiltrate and hack and disrupt the election. So Russia. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, look, Vladimir Putin, former colonel in the KGB, not a great guy. But ever since this administration has become a regime change, starting with Gaddafi, you know, when Gaddafi, yeah, and some of your listeners are probably too young, but I remember back in the 90s when Ronald Reagan bombed Gaddafi, he ended up killing one of Gaddafi's children, his 9-year-old daughter or something along those lines. Gaddafi basically surrendered to the United States and said, "Uncle, I quit. I won't. I'll be a good boy." And he's been a good boy up until Hillary Clinton became Secretary of State. And then we know because of the WikiLeaks, thank you, Jesus, that this administration, the Obama administration, has had not just a hand, has been responsible for overthrowing Gaddafi and seeing to his kill. As a matter of fact, there's a video out there. Stop me, Tony, because I'm telling you, I'm on a roll.
This is good stuff. Yeah.
But so there's a video out there that has Hillary sitting proudly being interviewed. We came, we saw, he died. And she laughs about this man being killed, who literally had agreed to play nice with the United States. Bad guy. I get that. Assar Assad in Syria, bad guy. I get that. But the proof that I show is the fact that this United States government, this administration, was responsible for the elections in Egypt when it first took power. The Muslim Brotherhood, evil, pure evil personified, the Muslim Brotherhood rose to power very quickly. But thank God the Egyptian military, which has always had the best interest of its Egyptian citizens in mind, finally overthrew Morsi, who was rapidly becoming a very evil dictator with the help of the United States. Yep. And so the military took over. So they did it to Gaddafi in Egypt. Libya.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. And of course, they were successful and they tried to do it to Assad. But Assad was smart. He saw what was going on. So he befriends and Syria and Russia have always had a cordial relationship. So he goes to Vladimir Putin and says, look, this big bully, the United States, which normally the United States under normal circumstances has always been the good guys. We've been the one wearing the white hats until recently, and Vladimir Putin. So now all of a sudden, getting to your original question, we see all of these leaks. Oh, it's Russia. It's Russia. It's Russia. Well, simply put, you know, it's the idea of planting that seed. And so that if there is an economic collapse, it'll be Russia. We have a convenient boogeyman that we can blame. Or if the elections are tampered with, or if the results are hacked, we have a boogeyman, we have a bad man that we can blame, and it's called Russia. Getting right to the core of your question, the reason why I made that video is because I'm predicting that regardless of what the results are, I believe that there are more people voting for Trump in this country than will be voting for Hillary.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I can't prove that, but so if Trump wins, they're not going to let him. They're not going to let him assume the presidency because they're going to blame Russia. And then when things get to a chaotic level vis-a-vis Saul Alinsky, and I'm not sure how familiar you are with his work, but vis-a-vis Saul Alinsky, then we have chaos, and out of chaos comes order. But that order will be the new world order, of which Hillary Clinton will surrender the sovereignty of the United States to that entity. That was the short answer to your question.
I'm gonna come right out and say what I think about the election, and I mean I don't have all the answers. Hillary Clinton is a witch. She's a third degree witch. She's definitely an Illuminati puppet, New World Order puppet. Is Donald Trump really against the New World Order and all the things that he's being portrayed, or is Donald Trump also an insider that's playing the other side of the Hegelian dialectic? I don't know. I don't fully trust the man because, I mean, Vladimir Lenin basically said, you know, I don't remember the exact words, but to the effect of, you control the opposition, but you know, people think there's an opposition, but we're really controlling the opposition as well. So is Donald Trump genuine or is he not? I can't be sure. I have question marks around it, but whether he's genuine or whether he's not, this could play right into the New World Order's hand because there will be chaos, whichever is elected, I believe, be it Clinton or be it Trump, the other side is going to cause chaos, which plays into the hands of the New World Order. And Trump may never, I mean, he may win the election, I'm not saying he will, but just say they allow Trump to win the election, or they even manipulate the vote so Trump does win the election, then that could be the excuse to have all the chaos and then they declare martial law so Trump doesn't actually assume office. Or if Clinton wins, on the other hand, and they've rigged the elections that way, then the people, if the majority have voted for Trump, they are not going to be happy and you're liable to get all kinds of revolt and things going on there, which also plays into the hands of the chaos. So either way, I struggle to see how you get out of this election without complete and utter chaos happening. And going back to the voting, a company owned by George Soros is providing the voting machines in 16 states. And Soros has already come out and said that it's a done deal that Hillary will win the election. So what does that tell us? I mean, really, the whole thing seems rigged.
Yeah, and all that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Tony, you and I have never talked about this prior to this interview, no. But I couldn't agree with you more. I think you hit the nail right on the head. Either way, Satan's power and the powers of darkness around the entire world, not just the United States, are now, just as Isaiah predicted, are now, and the Bible says in the end, you know, not only will knowledge increase, but darkness will begin to cover the earth. And that's exactly what's starting to happen. This is why it's so important that your listeners who know Christ as Savior, that we remember who we serve, we remember whose arms we are protected by, and under the shadow of whose wings we are protected by, and that we continue to be ambassadors for Christ right up until the time that he either comes and gets us or we go and meet him. I'm willing, you know, people, I've been cautioned by my family, even some of my church members, Steve, you know, and this has nothing to do with my church, my geopolitical outreach, but, you know, they're going to end up arresting you. And look, I don't say anything that I don't know that the NSA is listening, and I don't say anything that I'm not willing to be stood up against a wall and shot for, but I'm going to keep shouting out through programs like this. And that's why I so appreciate your ministry as long as they let us. And I'm just going to trust the Lord for the rest.
Yes, that's good. Good. A lot of people would say, oh, it'll never happen. They'd never do that. You know, the government wouldn't do that because, you know, the people just wouldn't allow them to do it. And those, they're not that bad. I mean, they're not really that. It'll never happen. But then you've only got to look back to people like Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Pol Pot, and they, you know, the list will go on. And even, you know, Kim Jong-un in North Korea. And yeah, you do get despotic leaders and people do follow them. And you do end up with this kind of chaos and tyranny and totalitarianism. And the fact is that governments, given the power, will do that. And it's only a normalcy bias that says it can never happen. It'll never happen in America or New Zealand or wherever. And so people need to kind of wake up and go, yeah, it's actually happened many times in history before, and there's no reason why it can't happen again now.
Absolutely. We've become, at least in the United States, we've become way too complacent, way too fat and sassy. And I don't mean that in a physical sense. I just mean we've become very comfortable in our lifestyles. And if it was up to certain people, especially George Soros and his followers and his ilk, those days are going to be very short lived. Things are getting ready to change and they're going to change very quickly.
The thing is, of course, if they were to pull the internet down, that, though, would also destroy the economy in many ways because all of our commerce now is pretty much based on the internet.
Right. And so if the internet goes down or they pull the plug, you know, just recently the Obama administration handed over the internet, at least as it refers to the United States, handed over the sovereignty of the internet to a non-United States entity called, it escapes my mind right now.
ICANN.
Thank you. There you go. And so we've already seen some disruption a week ago today. I'm not sure when this is going to air, but there was a gigantic, you know, an alleged hack. But this is the way it works, Tony, and I'm sure this is the way it's going to work, at least a version of it. The internet's going to go down. You're not going to be able to get to your bank. You're not going to be able to create commerce. Things will go crazy in the United States, perhaps all the way around the world. Things will go nuts. And then, in a very limited fashion, they will give us access to certain things completely under your under their control, whether that be cell phone usage or internet usage. It will be 100% controlled what you can do, what you can't do, what you can say, what you can't say. They're already prepping us for that. And then, and only then, can they institute a new one-world monetary system, which, of course, is probably already in place. They're just waiting for the right time to implement that. And now, all of a sudden, that leads us right to the next step. You already know where I'm going with this. Nobody's going to be able to buy, sell, or trade. And I'm just going to add, without their approval. And, of course, It's going to come eventually the mark of the beast. Whether that comes right in the very beginning or not, we don't know. But, folks, we're actually that close.
Yeah, I think they set the whole economic system up with the design of it failing, going all the way back at least to the beginning of the Federal Reserve. I don't think it's an accident that we've arrived here. They always knew that was the end goal, and now is getting closer and closer to the time when they will pull the plug and the economy will crash or collapse, so that the only way they can bring in a new monetary system is if the existing one collapses.
Absolutely. They have to wipe it clean. This country, the United States of America, in roughly $22 trillion of debt, we've already reached a point where even 100% of the income of the United States can never repay that debt back. They've got to reset the clock. This is all being controlled by the central bankers with their various evil offshoots, such as the Illuminati. And yes, Hillary Clinton is literally in bed with these evil entities. Whether Donald Trump is or is not, I'm like you. I do not know. I simply know that he is not her, and I don't have any other choice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I totally agree with that. I mean, even help America if Hillary Clinton is president, that's for sure. It'll be just Obama on steroids, worse than ever. But
oh, absolutely. I mean, nothing but lies and lies. You know, it's just coming out now. I don't know if you've been catching on, but just coming out now that our health care increases. In the state of Arizona, they estimate that our health care increase is going to be roughly 116% next year. So with our health care costs, if you're of meager income like I am, we're done. We're not going to have health care, which means eventually some of us, or a lot of us, without health care, we're going to die. And that's, Tony, they don't care. It's fine with them. They're not about serving the people anymore. This is no longer a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. This is going to be for the central bankers, for the Illuminati, by the central bankers, by the Illuminati. And again, like I said, Hillary Clinton, nothing but a power-hungry puppet.
The thing, though, that we do see in Scripture is that there will be wars till the end. So the Antichrist and the New World Order will actually not succeed in really galvanizing everyone. Maybe for a time, I don't know, but we see, you know, that those wars actually continue. And it leads me, you know, to thinking of people like Dimitri Dudeman and Henry Groover and others who have seen, had visions of the destruction of the United States of America, Chinese and Russian submarines, etc., launching nuclear missiles and destroying cities in America. Do you think there's any possibility of that, or what do you think on that?
There's absolutely a possibility, and I'll tell you why. I can't remember the admiral's name. I want to say Yamamoto, but one of the reasons why, when the United States was bombed at Pearl Harbor, really the first time since the British colonies were occupying the colonies, the British forces were occupying the colonies, I forget the admiral's name that was in charge of the Japanese fleet that bombed Pearl Harbor, the plan was to continue east and begin to invade California. And one of the reasons why the admiral said, no, all we've done now is just woken a sleeping giant. We've pinpricked the bear. The reason why he wouldn't do it is because in his mind, and although it might not have been accurate and true, it scared him enough. he thought that every homeowner in the United States had a gun or guns, and he felt that if they invaded California, that they wouldn't even be able to get past the civilian population. All right, skipping. Now we've got an estimated 300 million guns in the United States, and many of those gun owners are willing to use those guns against occupying forces, whether they're foreign or domestic. I'm not going to get into that today, but many of those gun owners are willing to use those weapons against occupying forces. If you're going to just neutralize the United States as a superpower, why not go whole hog? Why not just nuke the United States, bring them to their knees, and then you don't have to worry about the individuals with guns, because eventually they'll take care of themselves. Yes, to answer your question, I absolutely believe that when the United States of America gave up on God, we lost, when we allowed 1973, or actually you can go back to 67, when we took prayer out of school and we allowed this country to start ignoring God and start teaching that the idea, the false heretic idea that God does not exist, the United States began to lose its blessings and its covenant. And then when you couple that with the millions of unborn babies that are allowed to be murdered in this country every year, it's no wonder Billy Graham said, if God doesn't bring judgment on the United States very shortly, he's going to owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. So to answer your question, yes, sadly, I don't like the idea. I live here. I love my country. But yeah, I think it's very possible. And you know what? I think Hillary Clinton would give them permission.
The other thing would be preemptively even launching an EMP first, so you take out everything that way, all the electronics, and then launching nuclear attack on various cities would probably do the ultimate damage, and then you could bring the Chinese troops and Russian troops or whoever in afterwards, because their equipment being offshore at the time will still be operational, so they could just mobilize themselves onto the continent.
Absolutely. Tony, I'm getting all kinds of reports from the West Coast, San Diego Bay, San Francisco Bay, of cargo container filled with foreign military equipment and foreign, signage. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but like road signs and roadblocks that literally say martial law in effect, thousands upon thousands of containers sitting in our harbors right now. Now, these are unconfirmed reports, but they come from reliable sources that they're just sitting there waiting to be launched. And you got to believe if it's true on the West Coast, it's going to be true on the East Coast, Maryland, Virginia, Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey. Yeah, they could squeeze us in. It would not be that difficult.
Yes, it's not a very nice thought at all, is it? But, you know, there's no point in living in fear either. One thing I'm sort of thinking here is just say, you know, the communications, going just back to that, the communications are taken down. Do you have any ideas how people could communicate, or what do you think, you know, networking?
I'm glad you asked, because I've promoted this on when I've done other interviews around the country. One of the things that we've done here locally in Southern Arizona is we've networked with like-minded people, whether they be former military or former ex-law enforcement as I am, but like-minded people. We literally have our pockets, if you will, of resistance. And I'm not going to get into too much detail, but there are certain things that we can do when, and I'm not saying if, I'm saying when communications is cut, so that at least on a local level, remember those church bells now, on a local level, we can at least communicate with each other to a small degree and stay in touch with each other to a small degree. But when the internet and communications go down, and I believe they will, when they go down, we're going to be limited to our small pockets of like-minded, whether they be Christian or not, like-minded individuals, and we will be able to at least communicate with each other. Now, again, I don't want to get into too many details, but we have certain ways here that it would take the government quite a while to figure out how we're communicating. But it all goes back to that original theory of those church bells. You cannot unring a bell. If that bell rings, the government can't put the ring back into the bell. And that's sort of the theory. So I encourage everyone that's concerned about this, start networking face to face. Not over your cell phone, not over the internet, not through your email, but face to face, start networking with each other. And in our particular case, I think we're a little bit more advanced than perhaps some local groups. But we actually have, and we learned our lessons from the underground in France during World War II. We actually have certain milestones around town here in southern Arizona at the border of Mexico, where if a sign is upside down on the road, a particular sign is right side up, we actually have gotten to the point down here where we're able to communicate with each other without a radio, without a phone, simply by me, you know, traveling down a certain road and seeing something out of place. Signaling to other guys when our meetings are, our last meeting that we had. Now there was only maybe 11 of us, but none of us, what we tried to do was not communicate through email or any electronic device, and we were seeing if our code system actually worked, and it did. And so, what else can you do? I mean, we're not going to win, Tony. This is not a battle that I expect us to win, but, you know, my forefathers in this country were willing to risk their families, their farms, their fortune, and their lives to stand up for what is right, to stand up for the Constitution of the United States by signing their name to the Declaration of Independence. Those men literally knew that they could be hung. And, I've got many like-minded people down here that are willing to do the same. I don't know what else there is other than, and of course, this is the bedrock of everything I'll teach wherever I go, it's Jesus Christ and what he did for us on that cross that keeps us in the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. Psalm 91:1. We just talked about it in my church last week. You know, we trust the Lord and we do our best, but we let him do the rest. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
That's true. That's the excellent. I'll actually, before this show ends, I'll get you to actually pray for our listeners, if you don't mind.
I don't mind a bit.
That would be great. So don't let me forget we're going to do that. Just changing the subject a little bit, what do you see is in the church today, the deceptions? Because I see a lot of apostasy, really. I'm not too happy with what I see in the church in general. What do you see as being the main things deceiving or coming against Christians in the West today?
Well, the attack against the Christians, against the body of Christ, that I see is the most prevalent. I'll put it in these terms. It's the gospel of self. It's the same as Isaiah 14 when Lucifer said, I will rise above the heavens. I will be like the Most High. The I, the me, the narcissistic self-interests of me, myself, and I is literally creeped into the, it hasn't just creeped into the church, it's literally prevalent in the church today. Now, I'm not going to mention any names. I've actually met a lot of these guys over the years, but you see these churches that are on TV, 30,000, 40,000 people every service. Look, I'm happy if I get, you know, 140 people, I'm pleased and blessed by that. But that's okay. I'm called to do what I'm here to do. But if to answer your question, it is the gospel of self. How do I feel about this? Not what the Word of God says, but how does this make me feel? And this theology not only has crept into the church, it's literally pretty much taken over. And I can only describe it as the gospel of me, myself, and I. We've left behind our Christian roots. We've forgotten the price that was paid for our redemption on that cross. It was Jesus Christ and what he did for us. We have no power within ourselves, Tony. I can speak words till I'm blue in the face, but without what Jesus did for me on that cross, I'm nothing. I'm like a tinkling cymbal. I'm like a smoke, a vapor in the wind. We need to get back to our roots, and our roots are Jesus Christ. Not only, and when I say the cross of Jesus Christ, I mean his willingness to sacrifice, his obedience unto death, and the power, that dunamis power of his resurrection. But now it's being replaced, the actual gospel is being replaced with what I term again for the third time, the gospel of self. So if you're asking me what the number one enemy, it's nothing new, been around since Isaiah chapter 14.
True, but the thing is, a lot of those churches are preaching, you know, peace and safety and prosperity, and not preparing anyone for what's coming.
Tickling people's ears.
Yes, and so they people are going to be in for a huge shock. And it should be the Christians in those positions of prominence should be the very ones that are warning people of what's coming. What did the Bible teach? What did the Gospel of Matthew 24 and Luke 21? We never hear about that stuff. By and large, it's all the nice, touchy-feely, you know, bed of roses and cotton wool stuff. And it's not preparing people for what's ahead.
We are literally in the great deception that the Bible warned us about. Be not deceived, Jesus said in Matthew 24. Don't be deceived. These things have to come to pass. I never in a million years, I'm a little older than you and probably many of your listeners, but I never thought in a million years I'd actually live to see these things actually happening, and they are. But we got to remember when Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption is near. So they haven't just begun to happen. We're really in the first phase of evil permeating the world, and it has to neutralize the churches, exactly as you said, with the feel-good ministry. I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay. Aren't we happy? Let's just hold hands and sing Kumbaya and call ourselves Christians and call ourselves disciples of Christ when Christ had none of it. He's the same Jesus that overturned the money changers. And he's the same Jesus who looked the religious hypocrites in the eye and said, you den of thieves, you'll largen your phylacteries, you'll make your robes brighter and stronger and love the greetings in the marketplace, but you send people to hell quicker than you're sending yourself. And I'm paraphrasing, of course.
Yeah. Yes, I know. It's pretty scary on that sense, that the church has become largely so powerless and so far away from where it should be. But it shouldn't be scary in the sense that we are living in fear of what's coming. I mean, Jesus said not to be afraid. Do not be afraid. These things must come to pass. So how do people not be afraid?
Well, you simply, let me tell you something. God is not the author of confusion, nor is he the author of fear. Fear comes from the enemy. And fear, if you think about it, the root of fear is just an absence of faith. Now, faith, where you place your faith is the most important. Now, I'm a pastor. This is what I teach my people. Very small church. Like I said, if we average maybe in good days, maybe 70 people. I don't care. If it was only 7 people or 7,000 people, I'd be preaching the same way. By the way to eliminate fear, sure, we have our breastplate of righteousness and our helmet of salvation, our shield of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Word of God teaches us from Genesis all the way to Revelation. In Genesis, it points towards Jesus. He was a type of the sacrifices that Jesus was to come. And now in the New Testament, we look back to what he did for us. When your faith is properly rooted and grounded in what Christ, the victory, and the Bible says that the cross was a finished work. Nothing needs to be added to it. When you place your faith in nothing more and nothing less than what Jesus did for you as an individual, in what he did for you, then you can simply go to the Lord, who is now seated at the right hand of the Father, ever waiting, the Bible says, to make intercession for us. And you say, you know what, Lord? Listen, let me tell you folks one thing, Tony, and please, this is the most important thing I'm going to say in this whole interview. You know, being a little afraid or having a little fear is not a lack of faith. It will not cause the enemy to have victory over you. Having a little fear or being a little scared is called being a human being. But we can go to him and we can ask him to take that fear out of our hearts, and he will. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a miracle-working God. And for those that will surrender themselves to the Lord, when you come to the Lord with a petition like that, God, and in all honesty, and say, you know, Father, I am a little afraid. Help me not to be afraid. That's when he gives you the boldness. That's when he gives you the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. And you'll see, your listeners will see miracles in their lives as long as their faith is rightly rooted and grounded in what Christ did for them on that cross. It's all about him, and it's not about me. And so this is why the gates of hell will not prevail against. Not because I'm strong enough. I'm not. Not because I can articulate or I'm that smart, but because of what Jesus did for me. Having your faith rooted and grounded in Christ is the answer, and we trust him, for the battle is the Lord's and not ours.
What about anyone that's listening to this show? Maybe there'll be some that don't actually know Jesus, haven't had the salvation experience. What would you say to them, you know, if they're going, well, what does this mean, you know, for me?
Well, you know, if you're a seeker of truth, and I don't think they'd be listening to us for 49 minutes and 17 seconds. I don't think they'd be listening to us if they weren't a seeker of truth. Understand that Jesus, a man who even atheistic scientists agree, lived 2,000 years ago. They might not agree that he was the Son of God. They might not agree that he was the Messiah, but at least they'll give you that much. Yes, there's too much empirical evidence that Jesus, and a historical Jesus, lived. That leaves me with a quandary. I either have to believe that he was who he said he was, God in the flesh, or he was a liar. There's no in between. When you choose the truth, John 14:6, he is the way, he is the truth. And he said, nobody gets to the Father except through him. When you realize that you do have a need for a Savior, that you are a sinful, fallen man or woman, there's not a religion you can join, there's not a card you can fill out, but you simply reach out to the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when you call out to him with forgiveness, whether you understand it or not, whether you agree or not, but you simply by faith say, God, you know, God doesn't mind scrutiny. Are you out there? I want to believe. Lord, come into my life and show me. He will. He's still in the miracle business, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So anyone that's out there, please understand, it's not a matter. Tony and I are not teaching religion through this interview. We're teaching a relationship, and that relationship comes with the one and only, the perfect man's perfect God and God's perfect man, the one who knew no sin, became sin for you. Simply say yes to him. Ask Jesus into your heart. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
That's great. Can you once again tell the listeners where they can find you, maybe where your church is, where they can find you on the internet? And then, do what I suggested earlier, and that's actually pray for the listeners.
I'd be happy to. And thank you so much for having me today, Tony. This is the fastest interview I've done in a long time. I greatly appreciate it. On Facebook, you just punch in Pastor Steve. It'll bring you to my Facebook page. Now, I got to warn some of your listeners, although it's very Christian, it's very geopolitical as well. Has nothing to do with my church, but on Facebook or on YouTube, you can find me at Pastor Steve. Now, the name of my church, and I have to keep the two apart for legal reasons and so on and so forth. So these are my personal opinions that I express for the most part.
Yeah.
My church is the Southern Arizona Community Church, also on Facebook. The website, of course, is soazcc.org. And if it's all right for you, Tony, I'm just going to real quick ask anyone out there who really realizes right now their need for God in their life, that they see the truth of what you teach every week on your show, that evil is rising. I'm telling you, there's an answer out there, and his name is Jesus. Wherever you are right now, I want you to just stop for just a second and just take a moment and say, dear God, I believe you're real. I want to have this faith. I don't want to be scared of the evil. Lord, just come into my life. Jesus, please show me the way. I want to believe in you. Strengthen my faith. Forgive me of my sins, because I believe you really are the Savior of the world. And Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for anyone. According to your word, you shall find me, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, when you seek me with all of your heart. I believe Tony has constructed an audience here that has literally brought seekers of truth to this program. It's not an accident that you're listening. And who's ever out there right now, I pray peace upon them. I pray blessings upon them. I pray boldness upon them in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against them, Lord, shall prosper. Our trust and our faith is in you. I pray blessings upon Tony and his entire staff, his music ministry, his A Minute to Midnight ministry, Lord. Bless it. Let it in these final hours be a light on a shining hill, a shining light on a hill that will light up a cattle on the thousand hills, that there are many more of you and your angels and your angelic beings, Lord, than there are of the Hillary Clintons and the minions from hell, which would seek and destroy all that is good in this world. We know that very shortly you're going to come back and make all the wrongs right. We trust you, we love you, and we ask you to continue to bless all of your listeners in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Wow, that was great. I've thoroughly enjoyed this, and you're right, it has gone. It's gone really, really fast. But thank you so much for coming on the A Minute to Midnight show today, Steve.
Tony, it was my pleasure. I greatly appreciate it.
And we'll have to have you back again.
Anytime, brother. That was fun.
Yeah, I thoroughly agree. So cheers. You have a great day, and we'll be in touch.
All right. God bless. You'll send me a link, right?
I will.
Thanks, brother.
Well, lots to think about in that show. Definitely time to maybe put some plans into action for what lies ahead. The A Minute to Midnight show and our website is run completely by donations, so we really appreciate those people that do help us to keep this running. And we have the donation button on the aminutetomidnight.com website, where we also post all of our shows and regularly new articles. So please visit our website regularly to keep up to date with what we're doing. And feel free to join our A Minute to Midnight Facebook group as well. The piece of music that you're hearing underneath this is a song of mine called Among the Trees. Just in case you're interested, I've had a few people asking me that. So, well, that's about it for today. We'll catch you in the next episode of the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony signing off.